Phil Hendry Show. That's my name. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Or as we used to say when we were kids, that's my name. Don't wear it out. $125,000, $739.50. $125,739.50 we've raised for my friend's place. Do we have a new total, Mike? Did Camilla send us a new total? She did, and you're bringing it in right now. You dirty guy. We made $200 over the last 24 hours. Well, we're going to officially conclude this campaign, but we're glad we raised the money that we did. But unfortunately, you know, we've just about squeezed every last nickel we can out of you nice people, so we're going to move right along. We're going to start off. We have a call in to David Hall, who's the vice president of syndication for this radio show, and I understand you had a question for me, David, and I know that it is a rare instance that we bring you on. You are sort of a behind-the-scenes guy. People who don't remember you,
I'm the guy that runs the syndication arm for your radio program, which is syndicated throughout the country.
And you had a question.
Yeah, I did have a question, and my question is this. Why has your radio show sucked so badly over the last few weeks? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Why?
Let me ask you something.
No, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me, since I'm a character that you made up, why am I asking you this?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Since I invented you, why are you asking me an embarrassing question like that?
Because you don't have the guts to ask it yourself. Because you don't have the guts to ask the question yourself. So you put it off on me. In other words, I'm like this little voice. I know what pisses you off, by the way, when I say this little voice. What pisses you off is you consider yourself an actor, and a lot of people have said you're a ventriloquist.
Well, it's the radio writers. They don't, what are they going to know?
I know radio writers are dumbasses. You're right. Fact of the matter is, Phil, that's what they see you as. In radio, there is no art. In radio, there's just guys that do voices. In movies and TV, there is art. You want to do television, don't you?
No, I do not.
Bull crap.
Well, how do you know?
Because I happen to be the guy who's got the balls to say the things that you don't want to say. I'm David Hall. I'm the acerbic part of you. I am the cynical. By the way, where's Melissa?
I don't know. Where is Melissa? You don't know? She's just decided to take the afternoon off? Has she walked off the job?
Are you pissed?
Yeah, I'm pissed. Where is she? Why don't you go find her?
What'd you do?
You know what I did, because you're me and I'm you. You know.
Oh, you're sending Mike out.
Yes.
What's going on with you anyway?
I just got problems. I don't know.
What kind of problems have you got?
I've got behind-the-scene problems. I've got staff support problems. I got all kinds of things.
And you think the show blows?
Yes.
Then why you got me saying it?
Because I don't have you saying it. You're saying it.
Well, let me tell you something. Your show right now has hit a rut.
I'm listening.
You're listening?
Yeah.
You're a guy that's a very creative guy and a very inventive guy. Excuse me.
You're excused.
And you're the kind of guy that isn't happy unless you're reinventing the wheel every day. Is that right?
I don't need to be reinventing the wheel.
Come on.
Yeah, okay. I want to do something that's different every day.
And you feel that you've been doing the same crap for months. Come on, give me an answer.
Yes, I do. I feel we've been doing the same crap for months.
Frustrated, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, talk about it.
Can I talk to you about it?
Well, what do you think? You're making me up in the first place.
Okay, I'll tell you.
No, you can't talk to me.
I'm going to talk to you anyway.
Because I'm the little man you made up.
Yes. It's frustrating, and I'm having some creative blocks. I'm having writer's block.
You did that TV show the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Why?
Got you to thinking, didn't it?
Well, no, wait a second. Mike is...
What did Mike do? Well, wait a minute. I already know. He came in. He said he doesn't know where Melissa is.
Where is she? Well, what do you mean you don't know? Is her bag still in the office? Is her bag still in the... Oh, did she quit? You walked around the entire fifth floor. You didn't see her anywhere. And you didn't see her bags in the office. And Maria said she wasn't in the restroom when she was in there. Really? Okay. Then we're going to assume what? She'll show up when she shows up? Or doesn't show up? Yeah, why don't you page her?
Have Mike page her.
I just said that.
Well, so what'd she do, quit?
I don't know whether she quit or not, you know?
You're having some behind-the-scenes problems in terms of how the show's getting written, how the show's being executed. You're the guy that executes the show.
I understand that.
Okay, so... You don't like the writing on the show, the creative drive behind the show, and you don't like the way you're executing the show.
There's a lot of that going on, yeah.
Well, how about killing yourself?
I don't want to kill myself, man, okay? I don't want to blow my brain.
Well, that's one of the outs that a lot of artists who are in pain use. Aren't you an artist in pain?
Why are you being sarcastic?
Because you're embarrassed by these feelings, so you're having me do this. You're having me kind of beat you up a little bit because you're embarrassed by these very feelings that you wish you could express yourself, but you invented a whole slew of characters, a whole slew, a regular army, an ensemble of character voices to express for you. Isn't that right?
What if I said no?
It'd be bullcrapping me because I know the answer is yes. You don't want to kill yourself. How about killing somebody else? How about Craig?
No, I don't want to kill Craig. I don't know, it's just stuff.
Well, I can tell you this much. From my perspective, speaking as I am, as the sort of acerbic and depressed side of you, your show has sucked over the last few weeks.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. It has really sucked. It hasn't been funny. It hasn't been very creative. And maybe you want to quit and go into, wash those dishes you've been thinking about washing. You know, go in 10 Bar at the Northwoods Inn over there in the corner of Huntington and Rosemead like you're afraid you might have to someday. Just anything. Just get off the air. You blow.
Thank you. I really needed all of that, man. And
well, you're the guy that put the words in my mouth.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't think that it sucks.
Well, I do. See, that's the difference. I do.
Yeah, thanks. Well,
You were gonna do a bit about penis size here, weren't you? Oh man! Look at Phil. All I want to say is, start getting funnier sooner, okay? Because right now this thing isn't making it. Right now it blows six ways to sunset. And by the way, all I ever do is read your name in Don Barrett's column.
Well, I don't read Barrett, so how could you?
Well, I just pretend like I do. All I do is read bad stuff about you and Barrett. You hate him, don't you?
I don't hate Don Barrett. I like Don Barrett a lot.
You hate his guts because of his stupid, mealy mouth, has-been column.
I do not hate him. I don't.
You don't like that whole letter that Jack Ball wrote about you today? That's embarrassing. Go ahead, say it.
I don't hate Don Barrett.
You just hate his stinking column. You hate his internet column, and you hate all those geeks that write into it, don't you?
I don't hate Don Barrett. I don't hate all the geeks that write into it.
You just don't have the guts to say it. Okay, I'll say it. Phil hates Don Barrett. Phil hates the assholes that write into his column. Phil hates...
All right, thanks a lot, David.
I guess you're going to hang up on me right now.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Well, that was refreshing taking that call. Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Alhambra. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, there. You just plugged in my cell phone sound.
Yeah, great.
Well, how are you?
Fine.
Well, no, you're not. It didn't sound that way. And
I'm better now. Who is this?
Well, you know full well who it is. You're doing the voice right now.
All right. What do you want? Okay.
Well. you seem to be angry because a member of your staff has walked off the job today.
Well, I'm not. Well, wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be a guy to be a little bit upset, okay?
Well, and you compound that with the creative difficulties that you've been having on your program. You're not having a very good time of things, are you?
No, I'm not. Let me ask you, do you listen to this program?
I'm on your program regularly. I'm a character.
You just go along. Do you listen to the show?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, Phil, I listen to the show all the time.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's whatever. Is that good enough?
Yeah, that's great. I just needed for you to...
Just to act like I'm a different person, even though it's me that you're doing me and I'm doing you, and it feels real good.
Got it. All right, 1-800...
You hanging up now?
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Hi, Phil. It's Doug Danger.
Hey, Doug, what's up?
Well, I tell you, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I think you're the bee's knees. That's what I think. And
thank you.
I know that's what you want to hear.
You don't really feel it.
I don't. Not really, no. I'm not even sure why I'm on your program today, but what happened to Melissa?
I guess she quit.
She walked off the job?
She walked off the job this afternoon, yeah.
How come?
What are you asking me how come? You know I'm doing you.
Well, just to humor me. Why?
Why? Because, you know, we've had some internal disagreements. We've had some problems, and, you know, I was not particularly happy with some stuff, and apparently, you know, there's some people around here that don't like the way that sounds.
Look, Phil, why don't you do all of us a favor and come out of the closet?
I'm not gay, so give it up, okay? Talking about having problems with staff members, and you automatically assume I got to come out of the closet.
Yeah, it's just, it sounds like there's some sort of a psychic problem you're having there.
All right, well, look, man, I don't have that kind of a problem, but yeah, it's, you know, I'm a very, I'm a hypercritical guy. I'm a kind of guy, I know exactly what I want on the show. You're a film critic.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm a guy you made up, but...
Okay, you're a guy I made up who's a film critic, and by the way, you're gay, and you're a gay man and gay journalist.
That's it.
And, you know, it had been coming to a head for a long time, so she probably just got upset and split. Maybe she's saving me the trouble of Canada, I don't know. But,
Let me ask you a question. But your phone loop just went out. There it is. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why'd you make me gay? I mean, it's great being gay, but I was just wondering, how come I have to be gay?
Why did I make you gay? I made you gay because...
Are you homophobic?
No, I'm not homophobic. The reason why I made you gay is because there's a certain kind of gay activist who throws his or her gayness into the faces of people, and so I thought I'd come up with a character who is gay. And
yeah, but let me ask you this. What's up with that gay man, gay journalist thing? I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay...
Well, because, they, you know, that's what a lot of people who are gay describe themselves as. I'm a gay doctor, a gay journalist, a gay man. Not a lot, but that's got that really vocal activist minority. You know what I'm talking about?
Why ask me? I mean, you know very well it's...
Yeah, okay, I...
Is it that you don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's that I'm confused with what I'm... Never mind, just, you know what I'm... I made you gay, be happy with that.
Okay, Phil. This is Doug Danger. By the way, can we have dinner?
Yes, we can. You're not even real, so bug off. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, so what are we going to do here? She's split. She's walked off the job. Not that I can't write this show myself. I've been doing it for 10 years. But that was the kind of assistance that Melissa was providing us. And to be honest with you, you know, we just had a real serious, serious come-to-Jesus meeting yesterday as well as today. And we've been having them for weeks. And notice I'm not describing, I'm not characterizing, nothing. I'm not saying good, bad, indifferent. And if I am recalling correctly, didn't something like this happen last summer as well? You remember that day that we were calling to find out where people were? So I'm going to tell you this, because this is how I work. If you walk off in some kind of a demonstration, a Jack Parr-style demonstration, then, you know, a sort of I'm off the show kind of, you know, a bold maneuver like that, then just stay gone. And I suspect she knows that that's the case. She must. She's definitely clued in that much. She's walked off the show. She can stay gone. That means no unemployment. That's a lot of stuff. That's not a smart move. Unless she wants to give me a call and explain what's going on. In which case, I'd be very happy to fire her, and then she could go out and collect unemployment. Let me tell you guys something, and I mean this. I'm gonna step outside a little bit here and say some things that maybe I shouldn't say, but it comes from my heart. I think it's a very difficult thing for a man to hire a woman into a creative capacity. And here's why. In order for you to work closely with a woman, you have to be candid. And in this job, you've got to be especially candid in terms of how you think the job performance is. I frankly think that men can take criticism from other men much easier than women can take criticism from a male superior. I think questions arise, you know, I think, you know, questions of whatever, you know, of is this dude lording it over me because he's a guy and I'm a woman, is, you know, I'm a woman and I'm getting it really, you know, it's unfair things that are happening to me, and, you know, just a lot of stuff like that. I remember when I hired her to be a part of our staff, I was very proud that we were hiring a woman writer. I was very proud because I thought she brought a sensibility to the show that a female could bring, and she was very funny. But I demand a lot from the people who work for me. I just do. And I'm very pointed and I'm very direct, because in doing this show 3 hours a day, having to execute the stuff we do, you have to constantly make sure that things are right up to snuff, which means you have to be extremely direct. Which means you have, but what do I mean by direct? That means you say, you know, this bit you wrote today, it sucked. I can't use it. You know, this other bit you wrote, it's funny. We can use it. You know, this other bit you wrote, I can't use this crap you're writing for me. I need some stuff. I need something funny, and I need it topical, and I need it now. Now, if you do not have a cast iron stomach and the constitution of an aircraft carrier, you can't do that gig. Because I don't have the time to sit there and say, hi, could I speak with you for just a moment about, you know, the thing, the show, the stuff you brought to the show is, it's not really, I mean, could you be funnier with your writing? Would it be possible? You know, who's going to do that? So I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here, it's 28 minutes after the hour, and I have to believe now that she has walked off of the show, she's left, and she's resigned. And I got to tell you something, Melissa, if you're listening, better that you get canned than just quit, because there's questions of unemployment insurance, all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you, you need to give us a call on the back line. You honestly, seriously do. Or if Mark is out there, where is she, man? I don't even know if she's safe. At this particular point, is she lying dead in a woman's head? What happened? I can just tell you, it's been a very tough week, but this is just how I do business. I demand a lot from people. It's got to be the best. And the guy that I demand the most from is myself, and I go home at night ready to blow my brains out half of the time. You know, if you don't think that I demand a lot from myself or I beat myself up, I was 266 pounds. I'd like to say right now that I'm 239 and a half. Thank you very much. Down another couple of pounds. But who knows, that may go way up again tonight, because there's a case of Twinkies waiting for me. And, okay, let's go to another phone call. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, why don't you shut up and do a character bit or some kind of...
And anyway, I... 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We are... we're waiting. We'll be back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So 239 and a half pounds. Now, that is a loss since last week of, since last Wednesday of 2 pounds. It's 241 and a half, and it's starting to go down again. I was stuck there at 240. For a week, I was stuck between 247 and 248, and then it began to dip down to 243, and by midweek of last week, it was 241, and now this week, it's 239.5. And when I got up this morning, it was 242. Now, what do all these numbers mean? Well, not a whole lot to you. It just means that fatso's getting skinnier here. That's what it means. And I'm getting to this point right now where people are noticing it, and people are saying, geez, you know, you, and somebody actually said to me the other day, well, my husband's built like you. He's got a great body. I'm like, geez. And I said, well, thanks. What are you doing Friday? No, I did not. It was just a, you know, a coworker. But the point is that I've dropped that weight. Now, 239 and a half. See, this morning I got on the scale, it was 242. Then I went upstairs and performed my morning ablutions. Then I came back to the scale, 239. So there you go, see? Then I got on the bike. I did 40 minutes, my usual 40 minutes on the bike. You know, you lose all that water weight. So it's really, it's starting to happen here, man. And what's got to, I got to do now here in the next 10 pounds or so, I got to start lifting some weights and toning up because, you know, I don't want to start looking like soft boy here. You know, the skinny kind of flabby guy? That's kind of funky. You ever see these dudes that lose a lot of weight in there? You can see where the weight has gone, but there's like nothing but flab left. Everything is sort of soft, but like, you know, less. They're less fat, but it's, I don't know. So I'm going to need to do that and continue on. Like yesterday, what happens is when you stop eating, you stop thinking about food. When you stop thinking about food, you're not eating as much. Yesterday, I had 2 pieces of cheese for breakfast. And then I ran out the door. I went down to that TV shoot. And I didn't have anything to eat, even though they were grilling up the pork chops and all that stuff that I was telling you guys about yesterday. Then I had some of that salad from across the street, Sicily, to make that really good salad, and some ahi tuna, which is awesome, that kind of black and blue tuna. And then last night I had like maybe 3 Boca burgers or something for dinner and some salad and drank 3 bottles of wine. And it was just, I'm getting that red wine thing now because I keep hearing it's good for you. Now, Craig said that drinking beer is actually better for men than red wine is, but be that as it may. So last night I had like a couple of glasses of wine because ordinarily I don't drink on what we call a school night. I don't drink on a work night, even though I don't start working till later in the day. But last night I said, ah, screw it. And I had myself a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, and it was just, oh, man, I shouldn't have done it. I woke up this morning feeling like dog crap. But I'm glad I tried. So anyway, that is really an exciting thing. And the reason why I'm losing the weight is because I want to get it down. We're going to take the kids over, and we're going to take the kids on a cruise this summer. And, you know, we've been turning in bottles and saving money, and, you know, I've been, you know, giving blood and everything. We got just enough money for the money for this cruise so that I don't look like a complete piece of crap. We're going to take them over to Disney. And I just found, as a matter of fact, this morning, a card in my wallet, ESPN Zone. And I remember what happened when we were at the ESPN Zone in downtown Disney. You guys that don't live anywhere near Disney, you don't know how good you got it. You really, you don't. You don't live it. You don't have to worry about a kid saying, "Well, we're going to go to California," and then you got to try to get into the place, get a hotel room, you know. And I told you the whole thing that went down the last time we were there. Well, that was at the park and the hotel. It was cool. But then we go to this downtown Disney, which is a bunch of, it's like Universal City Walk. It's a bunch of stores. It's always a bunch of stores. You go into ESPN Zone. I say this with as much respect as I can possibly muster. ESPN Zone, downtown Disney, is this place in Anaheim. Bunch of stores. There's cookie stores and ice cream stores and clothing stores and restaurants. And it's all sort of Disney-fied. I don't know how to describe it, but it's clean, and it's, you can eat ice cream and drop it in the street, and there's a guy there 3 seconds later to clean it up. It's just, everything's in neon. There's a House of Blues there. There's a some New Orleans restaurant. You know that New Orleans jazz restaurant thing that they got in downtown Disney? Then they got that ESPN Zone, and there's the monorail that stops till you get on and you go into wherever the hell it is you're going. I walk into this place, again, with all due respect, you cats charge a lot of money in there, man. It is expensive. I'm laying out $20 a piece for the kids. That's a half an hour worth of game time. $20. See, that kind of, that's the kind of thing I don't... I just resent that. I don't think it needs to be that expensive. I'm a stepdad, father, slash parent, slash guardian, slash responsible older person, slash the no other adults are around, you're the guy that we got to come to, slash kind of a guy. And I'm the guy that's got to lay out the cash when the kids are saying to me, can we get a game card? Yeah, you can get a game card. How long do you want? Well, I don't know, like 3 hours? That's $180,000, 3 hours. I'll give you guys 20 bucks a piece. Well, you get 30 minutes. I can't believe it. Nobody could afford to go in there. I barely afford it myself. You know, you get 20 minutes, and the games are okay, but they've got this one mountain climbing game. Have you seen it, Craig? All right, you climb up the side of a mountain. Well, they've got you in a harness. They've got these straps that are underneath your crotch, basically. They're running along the side of your crotch. And you are sitting in this little harness that supports your rear end and your crotch as you're climbing this wall. And if you fall, for any chance, you are saved by the harness that they have you in. So it's a no-risk mountain climbing experience. And as soon as you get to the top, you hit a button, and they register your time, and then you are... You're cool or you're not, is whatever the record is, okay? So one of the kids was going up this thing, and I'm telling you, he was in discomfort because the harness was in the wrong place. So, you know, they had a problem with this machine, and they couldn't get him down. Now he's got, like, crotch burn or something. He's got some kind of serious... He told his mom, he says, you know, like his nuts were hurting him or something. Pardon my language, but that's what was going on. So I went to the guy at ESPN Zone. I said, hi, I'm, you know, I'm the kid's... Stepdad, yes, sir, what can I do for you? Well, I mean, he was just up in this thing, and his crotch was, you know, he's got a problem. He's in pain. He says there was a little bit of bleeding. Well, let me give you my card. I'm the head of the whole thing here. I said, great, and you call back. Well, I'm going to speak to you. Well, if you don't speak to me, there will be another guy. I said, well, with all due respect, sir, if I'm not speaking to you and I'm speaking to another guy, how does he know what it is I'm talking about or that it even happened? And the guy said this to me. This is Disney, sir. We're not going anywhere. And I said to him, you know something, I used the phrase, with all due respect to you, that doesn't make me feel better, and that certainly doesn't, you know, it doesn't give me any support, it doesn't give me, guarantees me anything, you telling me that you're Disney. What are you talking about, man? Why do you guys have to be that way, man? You got the happiest place on earth. You got beautiful freaking parks. Everybody's on the splash ride. We're going on that California Screamin'. What is it with you cats? You don't run the world. You're the third biggest media company in America. I recognize your stuff doesn't smell. I realize if somebody takes a crap at Disney that it smells like freaking Tinkerbell's crap. I know it's a beautiful thing. Tinkerbell takes a crap. It's like lilacs. I got the whole thing down, man. Why do you guys have to act that way? Lord it over everybody. I mean, you're Disney. You're not going anywhere. You know, I know that people have sued you before. I know you guys have had your problems. And I'm not here to create a bigger one. I'm just saying there's a possibility that my kid got injured on that ride there. Who am I going to talk to tomorrow? This is Disney, sir. That's like that... flight attendant on TWA, and it's still burning me 6 years later. 6 years later, I'm sitting there in the middle of an L-1011. We're on the runway in St. Louis. We're getting ready to take off to go to Minneapolis. Oh, excuse me, we took off because they don't have drink service on the ground. Well, we took off. Why did I think we were on the ground? Well, in any event, the guy comes down the cart down the aisle with a drink cart and misses me. He passes right by me. He was getting everybody's drink order, but he didn't say, and what would you like, sir? He kept right on going. So when he came back down, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes later, I said, excuse me, you missed me when you were coming down for drink service. And the guy says to me, we don't read minds, sir. You ask. And the reason why it still burns me is because I didn't say anything at the time, and I didn't go and talk to... And this is what we were saying yesterday. You know, you're flying through the air and you're trying to, you know, you just get from point A to point B. It's tough for you. It's tough for me. This is not a pleasant experience. Why don't you clowns just cut me a break and treat the people around you with a little bit of respect, okay? The only comfortable experience flying is first class. That's all. Otherwise, flying is very uncomfortable. Depending upon the load, depending upon how many people are on the plane, depending upon the day... It can be excruciatingly uncomfortable. Sitting next to some fat slob, sitting in between two people, Not being able to get a flight attendant to turn some air conditioning on while you're sitting on the runway gets up to 186,000 degrees, and the pilot says,
"Oh, looks like the president got a haircut. I'll be down here for just a few more minutes."
And stuff like that, you know. So it's not, it ain't cool, man, unless you're sitting up in first class where you're getting that ground service, where you're getting that, you know, a couple of drinks, get that food served to you on China, the little DVD player that you get. Oh, baby. Oh, that was the sweetest thing on earth, man. We flew to Paris. I was able to scam us into business class. I don't know how I was able to do it. I mentioned that I was a big shot talk show host. They said, "Yes, monsieur, what is your name?" I said, "Phil Henry, never heard of you." Well, that's great. But for some reason, they decided to take pity on me, and they threw us into the last two seats in business class, and we got these little personal DVD players. So you're flying to Paris from L.A. is what? 11 hours? And they gave us as many movies as we wanted. So I watched Shakespeare in Love, The Little Train That Could, and some other faggy, some very nice things. No, I'm kidding. I watched Simple Plan. I did watch Shakespeare in Love, and because that was all that there really was, you know. For some reason, they... Business class doesn't get the cool stuff that first class got. Why is that? First class has Nevada Smith and Reservoir Dogs. You guys get whatever the hell you get. You guys get Meet Joe Black and that freaking End of Days. So that's why you ought to lose your weight and get down to 239.5. How's that for tying it up? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Get any interesting calls, we'll be happy to put them on the air. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, I take the kids to school in the morning, and this is nutty. The kids, you know, kids today, they're talking to me about some friends of theirs that live in a gated community. And you know about these gated communities. We do a lot of satire on this show concerning gated communities and basically kind of send up the people that live in them. But they said to me, well, some friends of theirs just moved into a gated community and it doesn't have a guard. I said, well, what has it got? It's got a punch code you got to enter in. They're scared. I said, what are you guys talking about? Well, yeah, they used to live in a gated community where they had a guard, and now they got to live in a gated. Well, I had to spend the night over at Timmy's house the other night, and we had to go through the gate, and it only had a punch code. And, you know, do you guys know that there was a time not too long ago when people lived on streets where there were no gates? You would drive down the street and go, now we live in a society where we're walling ourselves off. I mean, you'd think that this was freaking China, man, back in the whatever the hell dynasty it was, they put the big wall up. That was a big gated community too, you might say. China, the ultimate first gated community. And what was that wall, Hadrian's Wall in Scotland? To keep the Picts and the Scots out? I know my history a little bit, because I watched the History of Britain on History Channel with that weird-looking dude. Then, of course, the ultimate gated community was Berlin for a long time, you know? You people live behind a wall. Hey, it's just a gated community. Come on. And you got guards there, too. You don't have no punch code. Guys are trying to... The only gated community you ever saw were guys jumping over the wall to get out of it, you know? And some of these places, some of those people ought to jump over the freaking wall and get out of it. Isn't that something, man? You drive down the street now, everything with a wall around it, everything with a gate in front of it. I'm not going to decry the loss of intimacy. I know the people who say, well, the computer and the television, we don't talk to each other anymore. You know, when the telephone was invented, they were afraid that there would be a loss of intimacy and we wouldn't talk to each other anymore. I don't hear anybody bellyaching about the good old days when there weren't telephones. See, what we do is we adapt. So I'm sure that we're going to adapt to the whole gated community thing. But I had no idea that there was a sort of stratification that goes on. If you live in a gated community where there's a guard as opposed to a gated community where there's just a punch code, well, you're just a piece of crap if you live in that punch code one. But that guard, man, that makes you, you're living large. And that Wall of Jericho bullcrap, some guy blew that one down with a horn. So that ain't very secure. I thought that was so funny. And up where we live, they've got them all over the place, and there are all kinds of gay. I mean, they've got the homes are rather modest. They're not horrible. They're beautiful homes, but they're rather modest, and they're all on top of each other. So they got these postage stamp lots now. Do you remember when you were a kid? We had a backyard. Not a big, but we had a pretty good sized backyard. Most kids had a and it wasn't a really big, expensive house either. Like out in Arcadia where I grew up, there's houses out there that are zoned for animals. You can actually go down the street and go into a guy's house, and the guy's got like an acre where he has a horse and a goat. I went over to a friend's house once when I was a kid, and he had a goat back there. I said, what's the goat for? Well, I don't know. It's just that you can have it, so we went out and got one. Oh, you mean you have the, yeah, it's zoned for goats, so you're zoned for goats? I never could figure out why the guy had the goat. It's as far as I knew, he was like a prop out of Central Casting. We have the yard, so we went out and hired goats and a horse, and they just stand there and they eat crap. And I don't know. Do you milk them? Do you? I didn't know. I wouldn't go near it. So you have these goods, but now they got their little postage stamp lots, and they have their gates and their guard gates, and they have all of their. We're zoned, by the way, for animals. We have a llama in the backyard. Actually, we could get a llama. We don't have one. We're going to have to run down to Peru and grab one and then put it in the backyard. And that way, you know, everybody else has a goat. So, but they have these gates and these guards. And I'm talking to you like 26 guards and 14 different gates you have to negotiate. And there's always, when you pull into those places, there's the side that says residents and there's the side that says visitors. And you so want to be a resident because all those cats are zipping in. And meanwhile, you're waiting there. Hi, I'm Mr. Hendry. Yes, sir, can I help you? Mr. Hendry for the Flemingham's? Yes, sir, hold on for just a minute, okay? Sure, no problem. The guy punches on the phone. Ring. Yeah, Mr. Flemingham's, Mr. Hendry. Oh, there's nobody home? Okay, hold on. Not home yet, I'll just have to wait, and you're sitting there rotting in the noonday sun. Could you pull ahead, sir? Well, we, yeah, okay. Like at McDonald's, you know, every time they tell me to pull ahead at McDonald's, I feel like you might as well approach this car like a highway patrolman approaching a stolen vehicle. That's how I'm feeling right now when you guys tell me to pull ahead and wait for my lunch. Welcome to McDonald's, sir. Yeah, okay, I'll take a couple of quarter pounders with cheese, an order of fries, and like a medium-sized Diet Coke. You got it. Could you pull ahead? Well, yo, you dirty. Pull ahead to that striped zone thing. And who's the guy that gets to get his food and zip right out? What, did he call ahead? Hi, is this McDonald's? Can I place an order? I'm just going to run in and pick it up. So that's how I feel when those guys do that. But I told the kids, look, living on a street where you can just, you know, we live in Thousand Oaks. Hey, what's the big thing? If it ever gets hairy, man, we'll build a big fence around the house. How about that? Because what happened was in the old days, so you go through Beverly Hills out here, there ain't no gated community, Jim. The houses have gates. The houses have walls, moats. You don't even know if it's a house. It might be a library. It might be a graveyard. It's, you know, all it is gates. It's just big gates and a wall covered with ivy. I'm here for Mr. Jones? Yeah, it's... And the gate opens up. You're going down a road for 3 miles. You don't know whether you're going to a house. Where are you going? It's like going to Craig's place. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.